We've come upon a new year. And with that, every new year we all make resolutions. There are resolutions to lose weight, maybe find a new job, enter into a new relationship. What I want to do is talk about the importance of the one resolution that we better get right. And that's the resolution of where we are in our relationship with Jesus. Christ brings to us so many possibilities, not only for the new year, but for our lives. And the question I pose to you is, do you know the true impact Christ can have on your life? Do you truly know Him?
Good morning again. We are in part two of a five-part series called Him. And the scope of this series is we go into every new year, if you're like me, and we make New Year's resolutions. We make resolutions for the years. We have goals. We have things we want to accomplish, whether it be in our marriage or our finances, maybe our businesses, maybe with our children, whatever it might be. We'll go into these years and we'll have these plans. I myself do that, and I have found myself at the beginning of many years making these plans, but having no plan about how Christ fits into those plans. I just assume Christ will be in those plans because I assume He's on the same page with me. He wants all this prosperity and all these great things for me. And so I many times make these plans outside of focusing on Him. And so what I thought we would do for 5 weeks is we would get to focusing on Jesus and what Jesus says in regards to truth and how that will help us as we plan going into the new year. Last week, we talked about where are we? We kind of laid the foundation. We went back to Genesis 3 when God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" And it was a call to them to come back to Him. And so maybe that's where you are in your life. Maybe you're at a place right now where you're like, you know what, I need to kind of come back and I need to hear God's voice. I need to have this call. Maybe you've got to figure out where you are in your marriage or where you are in your family or your business or wherever it is. Maybe you need to start with that question, where am I? And then the second question we talked about and I asked was, is this the year of access for you? Access to God, access to Christ specifically as your Heavenly Father. Is this a year of access for you? What are you going to access God in a deeper, more profound way than you ever have? And this week, I'd like to talk about an issue. It's really an issue for me. You may not have this issue, but it's this issue of drifting. I can remember many years ago, this is 20 years ago, I would go to church every Sunday. I go to church every Sunday with my parents. They went to a church in Atlanta, and I would meet them on Sunday mornings from where I might be living at the time, which I don't even know if I remember where I was living at the time. That's how bad it was. But I would meet them in the service. And I remember these sermons would be just speaking right to me. Have you ever had one of those sermons where you're just sitting there and you're going, talking to me, he's talking right to me? I had this moment where I felt like the pastor was talking directly to me. And he would have these altar calls at the end, and I would feel God prompting me to get up out of my seat and go to the altar and commit my life to Christ and turn from the life I had been living. And I would be overwhelmed, and I would not go to the altar because I was scared and fearful and didn't know what people would think about me. And I would talk to my parents about it after lunch, and they would encourage me, and then I would go back on Monday to the same lifestyle, and I would just drift in and out of this kingdom mindset, of this pull that God would have over my life. And it wasn't until I made a commitment to say, you know what, I'm not going to drift anymore, and I made this almost like stormed into the kingdom. And when I stormed into the kingdom, I lost everything. I lost my job. I had no money. I lost all my friends because they didn't want to go to church with me. Thought I was a weirdo. I lost everything. Everything when I made this commitment, right? I made this commitment to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I think what happens many times in our lives is not only do we drift in and out of, well, we want our marriage to be this, but we're not going to do this. And we want our relationship with our kids to be this, but then we drift. And we just have this tendency to drift back and forth. you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 7. I feel like Jesus kind of approaches this subject in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. If you've read the Bible, if you have any biblical knowledge, if you've been in church, you're going to have heard what we're going to read. This is Jesus speaking and talking about prayer. But I think there's something deeper here. I think what Christ is saying is, let's not drift into the kingdom. Let's storm into the kingdom. So I'm going to read this, and you can read along with me. We're just going to read verse 7 to begin with. Matthew 7, beginning with chapter 7. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you should find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you." Now, most of us have heard that. Most of us have heard that a million times. We've heard that verse. And it's impacted us many times. But there's something deeper here. And forgive me, because again, I went to 7 different undergrad universities, so I don't know what college it was that I took this class, but I did take a class on medieval history. All right? I literally cannot remember what class. I mean, I kind of know, but I don't want to say the college, but this was in my unfocused, going to church, come back, you know, fell out of school life. So I took a class, and I was fascinated by knights and castles, and I was just fascinated. It was a great class. I think I actually might have made a C in this class, one of the only classes that I made that high of a grade in. So I was fascinated by this. And I was fascinated by these battles that would happen where these people would storm the castle. You've heard that phrase before, right? Storm the castle. And if you do any sort of research on what it meant to storm the castle, what the enemy or the group that's trying to storm the castle would do, they would do these crazy things. So they would have people that might dig underneath the castle. So they had what they called diggers. So these guys would be trying to dig underneath to get into the castle. Then they had what they called pickers. And they would have pickaxes, and they would be hitting the side of the castle trying to get in. And then they have catapults. You know what a catapult is, right? And in these catapults, they would put dead animals and bodies, and they would take them and catapult them into the castle area to spread disease. And then they would have the battering rams. You've seen those in movies, right, where they would try to knock the door down. They tried these unbelievable things, all this work, all this effort, all this creativity, all these grotesque things to try and get into the castle, to storm the castle. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus said is required to storm into the kingdom. The exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. There's no battering ram needed. There's no catapult needed. It's simply this: ask, seek, knock. I'm not sure what could be more simpler. Think about it. Think about how hard we try to get into the kingdom. How much work we attempt to do. How many Bible studies we go to. And I'm not anti-Bible studies, but we go to tons of Bible studies. We try to do so many things. We catapult all of our yucky old stuff. You know, we're throwing that stuff. And Jesus says, there's just do these 3 things, right? He says, ask. I love this word ask, right? Just simply, you mean I, Greg Steele, can ask God? Jesus says right there, you can have access to God. Access to God. That easy? I can't get an appointment with the President of the United States. Can't really get an appointment with a congressman. Probably can't get an appointment with the mayor. But I can get access to God. But what it requires is an awareness that you can do that. See, the problem with me was I was drifting in and out because I had not become aware of what I needed in Jesus, that I needed that relationship with Him. See, asking is this awareness. It's an awareness that He's calling you and I back to Him. You ever heard the term, have one ear to the ground? This is not one ear to the ground. This is have one ear to heaven. I don't really think more of us, even though people think Christians are crazy now, they would really think we were crazy if we walked around like this. Right? But the visual of us, we need to have one ear to heaven because we need to be aware of what God is doing. He's calling us back to Him. And all we have to do is ask. It's that simple. There's no battering ram. It's ask. The second thing, and the second great work, is seek. All we have to do is seek. There's this pursuit that needs to happen. Now, when I mean pursuit, I don't mean that we chase after God. What I mean is that we align ourselves with the teaching and characteristics of Christ. Chasing after God is what I did. And I chased after God because this is what I wanted. I wanted an easier life. I was a deal maker with God. You ever been a deal maker with God? God would say, leave that whole lifestyle behind. And I said, God, I'll do all of that, but I won't stop drinking. Because in the Bible, it just says, don't drink in excess, right? And I could drink a lot. And God, I think, you know, it's okay for me to live with my girlfriend. I think I'm perfectly fine with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'll do everything but that. Can't do that. Won't do that. So I was chasing after God and for God to be a part of my life, and I'm chasing after the love of Christ in my life, but I was not aligning myself with Him, see? There's millions of people who chase after Jesus. There's millions and millions and millions of people that know who Christ is. In fact, you couldn't really go to many places in the world today that they don't know the name Jesus. But aligning yourself with Christ means that you know Him, intimately know Him. That He may only walk one step in front of you, not 10 miles in front of you, right? Close enough that I can touch His garment. Never far enough away to where I'm not aligning myself with Him enough to touch His garment. Because let me tell you, if you're anything like me, Greg Steele needs to touch His garment. That's seeking. And then there's knocking. There's this persistence that must happen. In our pursuit of Christ and our alignment with Him in our life. And I think God gets excited about a lot of things, but I'm not sure He gets more excited about our persistence and wanting Him as a part of our life. That's what knocking is. I used to be in sales. Had 10 people on my sales force. And this is the noise I hated more than anything on my office door. And that noise probably happened 15 to 20 times a day. Because somebody had something they needed for me to solve. They had a problem. They had something they wanted to pitch. They had something going on. I hated knocking. To this day, I don't like people to knock on my door. I usually just leave my office door open here and we just cut right through it. But God loves it. God loves to hear that noise. I don't know if it's an audible noise of knocking, but God loves the persistence that we have. He doesn't care for the drifting. He loves the persistence. This excites Him. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I want more of the feeling of an excited God with me. And that excites Him. Now, let's look at verse 8. You don't find this a lot in the Bible, but it does exist. And it's very important that we point this out. Jesus repeats verse 7. Now, I don't know why He repeats. I haven't done enough study in it. I'm sure somebody can tell me. I don't know. I'm assuming He repeats it to me because He knows, Greg, you need to hear it again. You just heard verse 7 and you're on board with it, but now I know what you're doing. You're trying to think, all right, all these things I need to do to get close to Jesus. And He says simply in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. It doesn't happen a ton in the Bible, but I would always pay special attention to the times when Jesus repeats himself. That's important. I have to assume that the Son of God, if he repeats himself, he needs me to understand this. And he's simplifying this again for us. And I love, absolutely love the word everyone. Everyone. For everyone. For everyone. Gosh, 20 years ago, did I not need that everyone? 16 years ago when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I held on to that everyone. You mean me? You mean me? You mean me with this lifestyle? You mean me? Every day I hang on to that everyone. Every day I hang on to that everyone. When I say something to my wife that I shouldn't say, which is every day. When I don't parent the way that I feel like I should have parented, or pay attention to my kids the way I should have paid attention to my kids, or pray for this church the way I should have prayed for this church, I need that everyone. I so need that everyone. For who, everyone who asks receives. Have you ever received something that you just really loved, that you just thought, man, this is awesome? Right, this is something I can use. This is something I can do something with. This is great. I got that this Christmas. I've been asking for 13 years of marriage for a good pair of slippers. I like nothing better than to get home from a day, and I'm going to do it today. I go to slipper time. And I have bought slippers. I'm not going to name the places, but I have bought bad slippers. Nobody buy me any slippers. And I'm not going to go spend, I'm cheap. I'm not going to go spend a lot. So I've just been, you know, I'd love to have some slippers. Anybody going to give me slippers? It's great. I'll open a box, sweater. It's great, you know. Next year, open a box, coffee mug. Awesome, you know. Next week, man, maybe they're putting the slippers in the stocking, you know, go in the stocking, right? Gum. Can't wear gum. Slippers, man. This year I received a pair of kicker, unbelievable slippers. I mean, these are slippers I can wear outside. You got those kind of slippers? You can wear those. I almost wore them today. They're so comfortable. They're awesome. It's some weird name I've never heard of before in my life, and Monica tells me that they're really nice. I don't know. I don't care what's written on the side of it. I just love the slippers. I can use this. The slippers are so good, I feel like I thrive around the house. Like when I have the slippers on, I feel like I have received something that allows me to do something. I become productive with slippers on. I'll empty the dishwasher with the slippers on. Like I'm thriving with the slippers on. What Jesus says, for everyone who asks, receives, understand, this is not a reception of something that's for survival, it's a reception that's something that's meant for us to thrive. Many times we go to Christ seeking his intervention in something because we're just trying to hang on and survive. What God says to us is, no, if you ask, I'm going to give you something that's going to allow you to thrive. And we spend a lot of our lives in survival mode. And that's not how Jesus has it designed. In 2017, I'm hoping it's not a year of survival for you, but it's a year of you thriving. I hope your marriage thrives, your children thrive, your business thrives, and I don't know what that looks like for you. But more importantly, I hope your relationship and my relationship with Christ this year, that we thrive. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who asks, thrives. Thrives. Because when you enter into the kingdom, when you knock on that door, when you ask, when you enter into an access with God, you thrive. Every time. Every time. And I'm not mean thriving, you know, your bank account. That's not what I'm talking about here. Anytime you have contact with your Lord and Savior, you thrive. You are better for it. That access makes you a better person. It makes you a better disciple. It makes you more compassionate. It makes you more graceful. Anytime you enter into that relationship, that's what happens. Thrive. We're not meant to survive. We're meant to thrive. A relationship with Christ is not about surviving things. Oh, if we can just survive this tough time. Oh, if we can just get through this. No, it's not about getting through. It's about thriving through. It's about thriving through. It's one of my issues, you know. It's an issue, my issue. It's my issue. It's not your issue, but you're going to hear about it. It's my issue. I can't listen to this woe is the world conversations. I can't listen to them. It might be reality. I don't know. Everything's pretty good at my house, you know, outside of 8 inches of snow, but everything's really good at my house, you know. We've had tough times, yeah. But I'm married to a person, one of her greatest attributes is she's a thriver, man. She's a thriver. She thrives us right through things. And she does that because she's received. And he says, anybody who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And what is it that we find? When we find the truth. And finding is this actual uncovering of something. It requires something of us, right? And truth experienced is always better than truth told. Always. And what I mean by that is, if you want to find the truth of God in your life, you have to experience it. You just can't sit in a sermon and listen to it. If you leave this sermon today and do nothing with what I've said, if you don't go home and sit down and think, all right, where do I need to be with Jesus? I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, I'm going to knock. Not because I want any sort of personal, like, I just want to be closer to Him. I want that access to Him. If you don't start to uncover that in your life, the truth is not doing you or I any good. You're hearing it. There's part C. Listen, I grew up in church, man. I went to church from the time I was a baby. My mom was a Bible thumper. She took us to, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, biscuits with honey. That's what we did. I've had more Baptist church meals than just about anybody. I've been there and done that, man. I grew up in church, and as soon as I got car keys, I was done. Why? Because I had not experienced the truth. I had just heard the truth. And I had to put that truth into some action. That's what I tell my kids all the time. And I know I shouldn't tell that again. This is my issues. I'm bearing my soul here. I tell my kids, listen, if you're going to go to church and just sit there and listen, and then you're not going to do anything about it, you're not going to talk to your friends about Jesus, you're not going to want to grow in your relationship with Christ, you're not going to pray at night, you're not going to read your Bible, you're not going to have compassion for people, then you know what? Stay home. Because you're hearing the truth, you're not doing anything with it. Finding means let's experience the truth in our lives. And then finally he says, the door will be opened. Will be opened. Not maybe. Not depend on how many times you knock. It'll open. The door will be opened. Now, I'm going to give you a new look on victory here because when the door's open, there's victory, right? But let me explain how victory in Christ works. Victory in Christ doesn't work this way, okay? We don't fight for victory in our lives. We fight from a position of victory. You understand what I'm saying? Relationship with Jesus, we are victorious. We don't walk in the door that is open looking for victory. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are victorious. I am victorious. We walk in the door to experience the glory of God. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus, you're still standing at the door. And you have access to ask. But you must align yourself first with Christ and the teachings of Christ before the door will be opened, because Christ really wants us to walk through that door in victory, not searching for victory. If you want victory in your marriage or victory over your kids, start operating from a position of you're already victorious. We become so defensive. We fight from a defensive mindset when it comes to things in our life. I can remember somebody said to me one time, I'm not a violent person, but man, I do not like this statement. Wait till your kids become teenagers. Don't speak that over my life. Don't speak that over my kids. Listen, in my family, we fight from a position of victory. I believe victory over my children. I pray victory over my children. Now, they may make choices beyond that, and they may not embrace their victory, but as their parents, we come from a position of victory. The door opened for us and for my children because we are victorious in our relationship with Jesus, because he died on the cross and rose again 3 days. See, that's where my victory comes from. My victory does not come from being the best pastor, the most eloquent speaker, the best theologian. My victory comes from the blood shed on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later. That's all I got for you. So if I walk down off this platform and you say, that's the worst sermon I ever heard, tough. Because my victory is not found in that. My victory is found in one and only Jesus, through the victorious walking through that door. I have knocked, I continue to knock, and that door opens because I am victorious. What are you drifting from in your life? What do you find yourself going back and forth in? Is it fear? Is it loneliness? Where do you see yourself drifting? Have you not committed? Do you not understand? Are you confused? Are you not walking in victory? This has got to be the year, right? Why isn't this the year? Why isn't this the year? Why is it 2017 the year of victory for you? Why isn't this the year that you stop drifting? Why is this not the year that you simply ask, seek, and knock? Simply do those things. Stop wearing yourself out with worry and fear and confusion and sadness. Walk in victory. Where's your victory taking you? What is the one promise from God that you want to hold on to this year, that you want to embrace this year? What's the one promise? What's the one promise that you want to hold on to? I think 2017 needs to be the year where we storm the kingdom. We don't drift into it, we storm into it. We storm into it and say, you know what? I'm going to make a difference in the world. I'm going to make a difference in this person's life. I'm going to make a difference. And through the process, Christ is going to make a difference in me. Or are you just drifting into the kingdom? And just drifting in like I did so you can drift right on back out. See, the problem is I wish when I knocked on that door and I opened it and I felt the victory and I had the victory all over me, that the door shut and the door never opened again and I couldn't get back out. But I do. I just drift right back on out, man. I get fearful and I worry and that's the kind of power I want. The power of Christ through me against worry and fear and, I want that door to shut behind me. Like, I don't want to have to knock, and I know one day I won't have to do that anymore, right? But I will tell you this, man. Praise God that he allows me to keep knocking. Praise God that he loves that persistence. Praise God that he wants to be aligned with a sinner like me. Praise God. God, that I have that victory. Praise God that I, for whatever reason, kept one ear to heaven and it landed me here. Now, that might not be good for you, but that is great for me. Are you drifting in and out of the kingdom? And what is your thing that is keeping you from storming in and saying, this is it. Victory. Victory.